we started a new series. We're starting a new series. We started one on Wednesday, and we're going to be doing a continuation of it on Sundays as well. It's called Weeds. Somebody say Weeds. Not weed, weeds. Some of y'all is like, oh, we talking about that in here? Are we talking about that in here? What's the religious folk we call it? They call it the devil's lettuce. You ever heard someone call weed the devil's lettuce? Y'all been on the devil's lettuce. No, we ain't talking about the devil's lettuce. We're not talking about weed. We're talking about weeds. Because listen, we just came out of a series on Wednesday talking on the garden. We're talking about how, man, there's these principles in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus pretty much is saying, hey, these are the things of how to walk this thing out. If you want to be a healthy, whole person, your heart is like a garden. You got to know what to plant. And so in Matthew 5, he talks about, man, these things we're talking about, man, blessed are those hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're talking about in Matthew chapter 5, there's these beatitudes of these things that, man, if you plant these things in your life, you'll have a heart that is whole and healthy, that it would be like a garden. I love gardens. I do love gardens. Gardens, man, there's something about, like, when you go to, like, landscape, and it's just a nice place. I love Disney World. Anybody ever been to Disney World? I went to Disney World this past April, and it was, like, the Garden Festival, and I went to Epcot, and it was a beautiful spot. I'm just like, daggone, they got these giant Mickey Mouse trees, they got these roses, they got these azaleas. I love gardens. I was gonna propose to my girlfriend at an azalea garden in Raleigh. Me and Pastor Josh actually was scoping it out for a bit. That's how much I love gardens. And you know what's crazy though? Who in here you've done like yard work? You done yard work. Growing up, I hated yard work. I'm talking about despised. Because listen, I'm the only boy in my family, and some of my sisters, they helped out, but really the yard work was for me. And bless God, I had a whole magnolia tree, and so there was leaves on leaves on leaves every single week for me. So I could not watch no type of Saturday morning cartoons. Nah, your boy was out there doing yard work. But here's the thing. This is just a turn of events. The older you get, at least for me, the more I start to care about yards. It's crazy. Like, real talk, I was at my sister's house, and I got to do the yard there. I got to do, like, I got to cut. I got to get the weed whacker. I got to do the edges. I got to do bushes. And the more I'm like, the older I get, the more I actually start to care about yard work. It's crazy. Now, my yard, my sister's yard, the one I take care of, now, it ain't healthy like a garden. It's, this is a project. We took out some bushes. Now, that area looked kind of crazy. I got this thing called crabgrass. It's like pimples on a yard. It's nasty. Like, I'm looking at this grass, I'm like, this is disrespectful. You ever just look at something ugly and just like, this is disrespectful? I feel disrespected when I'm looking at this. And I'm cutting this grass, and you know what's crazy is that, man, I'm seeing all these crabgrass, weeds, and I'm trying to take care of this, but it feels like every single week there's something new. There's like a new weed over here. There's some more crabgrass over here. And so I got to figure out, man, how to best tend this yard. And let me tell y'all something about our hearts. Jesus actually warned us of things that we have to be wary of that would make our hearts messy. He actually told us that, man, that you got to beware some things like this past Wednesday, we talked about unhealthy anger. Now, anger, Bible says this, if you hold on to anger, you'll literally make room for the devil to come into your life. If you have unforgiveness and things like that nature, it is pretty crazy how much unforgiveness and anger can literally distort your heart. It'll distort the way you think, the way you see, the way you feel. We talked about that on Wednesday. And the thing that we're going to talk about today is actually Matthew 5, 27 through 30. You see, here's the reality. Jesus told us what to plan in our lives as well as what things to be aware of. And so Matthew 5, 27 through 30, it says this, you have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery, meaning, hey, don't be cheating. Says this, though, but I say anyone who even looks at a woman, or insert a man, looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Son. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. That sounds very vivid and very violent. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. What's crazy is the biggest thing that Jesus is saying of this scripture is to beware of lust. Beware of lust. Like, y'all, we spoke on this when it came to blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, and how the enemy will try to attack us in two ways, whether it be idolatry or sexuality. We're going to be talking really, really, like, even more on lust, because listen, this is one of the main areas where we fall. I'm talking about humanity, mankind, we fall. Bible says this, that man, that Satan, the god of this world, has literally blinded those from the truth or the good news of this gospel. How does he blind us? Bible says this actually in 1 John 2:16. It says this, for all that is in the world, meaning the systems of the world, the systems of the world, it's the desires of the flesh or the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Jesus is saying in Matthew 5, 27, you see, Jesus brought this new way of thinking when it comes to sin. Up to this point, we're talking about the law. He said it's really about what you do. And with Jesus on the scene, he's like, it's not just about what you do, it's about how you think. Because let me tell y'all something. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. Everything starts in the mind. Everything. If, like, the whole battlefield when it comes to this life all starts up here. I want you to put your hand on your head. Put your hand on your head. Say, everything starts with this. That's the battlefield. Jesus brought this new way of thinking when it comes to sin. It's not just physically doing something wrong or doing something against God's will. It's if you're actively dwelling in on it. This thing of lust. What does lust mean? Lust means this in the New Testament. It's just simply this, desire and craving. Now, is desire wrong? No, it's good to have desire. Like, it's good to have, man, I have desire to be successful one day. I desire to have a family one day. I desire God. But unhealthy lust, unhealthy desire, unhealthy, another word for lust is craving. You ever had a craving before? You got one right now? What you craving for? You craving for brownies, man. Let me tell you something. I love some brownies. Praise God. Craving. Listen, I remember, craving. I go through phases. I go through phases where I'm like, yo, man, Sun Chips are the best thing on the planet. I be getting the green ones or the red ones. And I'd be like, man, at least once a week, let me go ahead and get these red chips. Or let me get these green Sun Chips, the French onion ones or the garden salsa joints. They that good. Or you ever have a craving for something bad? Like, you know, it's just flat out bad. You just like, oh, man. I went through a phase where McDonald's had this new chicken sandwich. It's not that good. It really isn't that good. But I was like, for some reason, I was like, I knew it's not that good, but I still wanted it. Unhealthy craving. If I could, now here's the problem. If I would crave that all the time and I would eat that all the time, you know what ended up happening? Your boy would get the diabetes. I would gain an extra 60 pounds. I would have something on my neck as well as in my leg. I would be forced to either amputate one or the other, my left leg or my left arm, something like that. Just because of the craving that I kept on feeding it. When it comes to lust, this is talking about unhealthy, unchecked craving and desire. And even more so, this is talking about lust, meaning sexually. Now, here's the thing when it comes to scripture. When it comes to sin. Sin, God looks at sin across the map. Judges it. This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. This is why he said, man, if you hate it in your mind, if you have hate for somebody, you're a murderer. Jesus would say that. It's like, daggone. That's why he would say, oh, man, if you're thinking in this in your mind, then you're actually this. Here's the thing when it comes to sexual sin, though. Sexual sin is different. Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 through 20, says this. Actually, I'm just going to read the first part. It says this, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. Sexual sin, dude, will mess up your body. A lot of people are like, oh, you talking about STDs? Are you talking about, nah. I'm talking about, not just talking about that. Yeah, if you out here being out, just wide open, yeah, that's available. But also, I'm talking about your mental health, your emotional health, your even physical health. I'm talking about the way you see yourself. I'm talking about the way you see people. I'm talking about this will destroy, literally, you, if you leave it unchecked. Sexual sin ain't no joke. I'm real passionate about it when it comes to stuff like this, just because this was my story. This was me. Lust ruled my life for a long time. See, what ends up happening is we crave or desire something that is not consistent with what God has sanctioned as good. Simply put, sinful lust is desire something that we desire something that we believe to be good outside of what God has called good. It is to put our own will and pleasures above God's. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. Says this, for this is the will of God, your sanctification or your purity, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of, again, lust like the Gentiles or the non-believers or non-Jews do, who do not know God. Crazy thing is Jesus said this, where your treasure is where your heart is. And so there's this aggressive attack, especially in early days, whether it be middle school, high school, elementary school, on this area I remember I was in elementary school when I was first exposed to pornography. I remember when my curiosity become heightened. I remember the moment I started shifting and seeing things completely differently. I remember being in middle school and going, doing the whole roller coaster of, I'm gonna try to live for Jesus, but what am I gonna do when there's all these girls around? I'm gonna try to live for Jesus, but I'm struggling with my sexuality. I'm gonna live for Jesus and I'm struggling in sin. You see, this ain't new. This is, you can see all this through the Bible. Who knows the story of Samson? Samson. Some of y'all are like, who? Sam a who? Samson. Samson is this dude in Judges that he has this crazy, like, strength. He has this crazy strength. People don't understand where his strength comes from. He's this Nazirite dude, meaning this. He took an oath as a vow to with God that, man, he wouldn't cut his hair. So he had these long locks. They're probably with dreads or something like that. And he didn't drink wine. He was this dude who, man, the Israel's enemies, the Philistines, hated because they could not conquer this dude. This dude would literally be cleaning folk. Y'all jokers be thinking like, oh man, what superhero, what's doing this, who's stronger, this and that. This joker was literally cleaning hundreds of people by himself. Whether it be using, I'm going to use a jawbone of a donkey or just my bare hands, what's cracking. This joker was wild, strong, anointed by God. Problem is, that joker had a lust problem. God be like, hey, don't mess with these Philistine women over there. They're going to turn you from me. And he immediately was like, yeah, bet God. Hey, what's up with these Philistine women over here? He got involved with this one woman called Delilah. And Delilah was not for him at all. She would constantly be asking, hey, what's the source of your strength? What's the source of your strength? What's the source of your strength? He would be joking around. He'd be thinking that she'd be just joking around. So he'd just be like saying something. Oh, yeah, it's this yarn thing that I got, or it's this thing or this thing. And he'd be lying. And then she'd be getting mad when it doesn't come true. I'm like, bruh, how do you not recognize that? That girl ain't for you. And he ends up sharing, oh, the source of my strength is my hair. If you cut my hair, you cut off my strength. He falls asleep messing with her. She cuts his hair. She binds him up. Philistines come in, and they capture him. And the Bible says this. Now, this is Judges 16:21. It says this. So the Philistines captured him. And look what they did. Gouged out his eyes. Good Lord Almighty. Listen, I've had like a hair get in my eye. I can imagine my eyes being gouged out. They gouged out his eye. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. Can I tell you this? This is a picture of what lust does. Lust will blind you and bind you. It's a picture. You see, there's this thing when it comes to your vision. We talked about this a little bit. You behold what you become. The way you see matters. Your perspective matters. The way you everything with these matter. And so if the enemy can get you to get into lust, again, the things of that are made up of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, meaning this, my own type of, my desire of the way I feel, the cravings of what I feel, the cravings of what I see, and the pride of life is this, just me feeling that I don't need God. If he can get you into that, he can get your vision. A lot of us, we get into lust not because we're just some like, oh man, I'm just super, super lustful. Nah, a lot of us, we in here just because we got hit with pain somewhere. And we chose lust to try to numb it. Lust will ultimately blind you and bind you. Notice that man, his eyes went. He was bound with bronze chains. You know what's crazy? There's a symbolism of bronze in the Bible. Bronze means judgment. You know what happens when we get into lust? Lust always is, there's this ugly twin sister called shame that comes with it for some reason. I can't tell y'all how much lust and shame mess with my mind so much that I couldn't even like function around normal people. I always felt like I had to put a mask on. Oh, if they knew who I really was, they wouldn't want me. They wouldn't be around me. They wouldn't think I was cool. They wouldn't want to be friends with me. There's this shame thing that comes with the more and more we are in lust, whether it be in pornography, whether it be in sexual addiction, whether we're having sex outside of marriage. There's this thing when it comes to that we actually end up feeling the need to separate or to isolate, which actually enhances our lust problem. Because ultimately, we're just wanting to feel good. And so we end up doing the same thing over and over and over again. I remember hating to come to church. I remember hating coming to church. Because I would feel like this thing of like, I'm dirty. God don't want me here. God probably is like, yo, this kid is insert. Because I thought of that of myself. Guilt says I made a mistake. Shame says I am a mistake. And so there's this reality of shame that says that you're too dirty. Guilt is good. We need guilt. I need to feel, listen, if I put my hand over a stove, I need to feel just the, oh, that hurt. Without guilt, I'm just putting my hand over a stove. I mean, without sensing something or feeling something, I'm just putting my hand over a stove. Guilt's good. Guilt is saying, oh man, I'm operating outside of who I really am. Shame says no one will ever accept me. Shame says no one will ever believe, no one will ever want anything to do with me. Again, lust will blind you and bind you. Look at Samson. Look at this dude named King Herod. This is fascinating because I saw it in later on in my life. King Herod, he's this ruler in Judea in Jesus' time. He is having this celebration. And his stepdaughter, is there. It says this, when the daughter of Herodias, this is Mark 6, 22 through 23. When the daughter of Herodias came and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish and I will give it to you. Pause right there. Now you're just thinking, it's like, oh, she was just dancing. She was doing like, you know, oh, look at her. She's doing, oh, hey, whatever you want. What you want? It won't like that. Homegirl was having a whole session. Like, it was like a, listen, when it comes to that word please, that's not what it meant. She was doing all type of provocative dances. She was gyrating, jiggling, all of it. All of it's probably out. All the guys and whatnot with Herod are like, oh, this is great. Lust is all in the room. And it pleased him. And he ends up saying this, ask me for whatever you wish and I will give it to you. And he swore to her, whatever you ask of me, I will give you even up to half my kingdom. Look what lust does. This joker was willing to give up to half of his kingdom. Lust will always take something from you. Lust have made great men and women fall all throughout history. You got so many people, whether it be, man, shoot, forget history. There's billionaire CEOs of companies who, because of lust, because they broke their marriage, because they stepped out and were unfaithful, guess what? They've lost their businesses. They were divorced. They lost half of their money. Listen, forget just money. Listen, there's whole families that have been broken, that have been split in half because of the unfaithfulness, because of lust. Lust, man, ain't no joke. And there's this thing when it comes to, like, again, this starts in the mind. This starts with the entertaining of thoughts. This starts with the entertaining of, oh, well, it's just a thought. When you walk past that person or whoever, and we start to fantasize and fantasize and fantasize. Listen, again, there's a difference between just being human. You're walking somewhere, you see somebody look good, and, oh, that person look good. Well, let me keep on walking. And you walk past that person, you start to think about that person. You start to, there's scenarios and fantasies that you start to just think on. The world would say, hey, that's normal. Fellas, the world says that's normal. For you to, hey, chase girls as much as you want, treat them as objects of your pleasure. The whoever you're with or whatever you do, how many that you do it with, that's actually shows how much you're a man you are. That's a lie. That's a straight up lie. Ladies, listen, the world would say, hey, embrace your sexuality, embrace this. As a matter of fact, do things like a man. Matter of fact, the more you put out, that actually shows actually how much power you have. That's a lie. It's a flat out lie. Listen, whether it be lust when it comes to sex, whether it be lust when it comes to pornography. Again, I was exposed at a young age, and that thing twisted my mind. And the addiction and the shame cycle that goes with it. You know what's crazy? We're quote-unquote the most sexually liberated generation, but we actually still, we also have the most emotionally and mental, like, crazy unhealth in our generation. I wonder if the two are, like, connected. Lust goes hand in hand with all dysfunction. Sometimes we get into lust because of we're just trying to feel. Don't know how you got there. Don't know how what you believe. But listen, it ain't the answer, and there is a way out. Lust will keep you from seeing and walking in the will of God. And scripture says this, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor your God with your body. Recognize this, that you have the most valuable person in all creation inside of you. Recognize this, that man, that you have value. Like lust, we can insert any type of sin, but especially lust. We fall into lust because we don't know our value. For those in here struggling when it comes to same-sex attraction, listen, that's put makeup on a pig, put a dress on a pig, it's still a pig. Lust is the same thing. It's the same thing. There's so many things when it comes to whether it be same-sex attraction or when it comes to we fall into lust or when it comes to pornography or sexual addiction, whether it be like self-hatred. Amount of times that I meet and talk with people who just deal with self-hatred. They deal with comparison, and they compare themselves, and they compare themselves, and they compare themselves, and they start hating themselves, and they start hating themselves. They say, oh, I wish I was like this. I wish I looked like this. And before you know it, their attraction shifts because they don't love themselves. Same scenario as, man, I hate myself, da-da-da-da-da-da. But then you meet somebody who says, hey, you look good, or hey, I like you, or hey, da da da. And now you just want to put out because now you feel loved. Same thing. Guys, girls, let me tell you something. Your body is valuable. Your mind, will, and emotion is valuable. And some of the things, the way you're feeling right now, it's not you, actually. We can trace some stuff back to why we believe and why we think the way we think and why we feel the way we feel. For me, I was so triggered with shame before I even fell into lust that when I was exposed to it, I got hook, line, and sinker. Threw away my whole middle school, high school life. Did not care about grades. Went to school just so I could mess with girls. Didn't see life correctly. Believed everything that culture said. That hey, dude, if you can get as many girls, guess what? You're doing what you're supposed to do. If you have this many people liking you, if you get with this many girls, if this many people say, man, you're the man because of that, you're complete. That's a lie, dude. I drank that lie up. Until when I really, really, really experienced God's love and I saw the power of what he has done, and I saw that, man, he did not see me like I saw me. I could start to see, oh my goodness, I believed this for so long. I started to see my heart. I said, oh my goodness, why did I ever believe this for so long? When you recognize that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, you recognize that, man, your body, what you do with it, as well as what you think, matters. Everything matters. Man, I started recognizing, I remember this, because pornography, again, ruled my life for a grip, too. And I thank God for the magical moments of, like, not magical, but it's legit Holy Spirit of man, we pray, and bang, something happens. And you say, oh, my goodness. Praise God for the altar call moments. But I saw the power of this thing, of breaking really lust wide open, but doing what Scripture says. How do you break lust wide open? How do you break lust out your life? 2 Timothy 2:21 through 22 says this: if you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special instrument or special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Here's this bold right here. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. I love how the scripture says, hey, resist the devil and you will flee. But when it comes to this thing, run. Run. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call upon the Lord with pure hearts. How do you bust hell wide open? How do you bust lust out your life? First and foremost, close the doors and the windows. Run from anything that stimulates lust. Listen, if you are talking to ladies, if you're talking to a guy and you know he ain't for me, he ain't for me. He wants to do things to me. Run. Back up. Fellas, If you're talking to a girl and you're like, this is not healthy, run. If you have a device and you know, man, I'll be watching things I'm not supposed to watch. I'll be listening to things I'm not supposed to listen. I know this is not healthy for me. Guess what? Cut it off. Close the doors and the windows. Jesus said, hey, cut it out. Cut it. When you start getting radical, oh my goodness, this phone ain't helping me. Hey, I don't need a phone. Whoop. Some of y'all got to just make a decision. Hey, I don't need this, actually. Or get real bold. Shoot, there's so many softwares and healthy things you can put on your phone or your devices that actually, like, guard you from all this stuff. Close the doors and the windows. Run from anything that stimulates it. How do you break lust out your life? Number two, change the way you think. Change it. You see, there's habits of thinking that we have, that we've had for a long time. And the moment that we choose righteous living is the moment that I need to choose how to live righteously. And so, man, I got to change the way I think. This is for any type of thing. This is for lust. This is for anger. This is for how I view everything. I need to change the way I think. If some of y'all don't feel loved, change the way you think. How do you do that? By His word. By intentional confession of Scripture about you, about Him and about you. Change the way you think. Get to know and believe what God says of you. Number three, how do you break lust out your life? Get connected with the right people. Get connected with the right people. Find people that are stronger than you and that can help you. Find people that say, leaders that you can be like, hey, I need help. I need help with this. I need help with my mind. I need help with not doing. I need help believing this about God. I need help breaking these habits. Find leaders. This is what discipleship is. As well as find better friends. Man, we got a lot of friends that out here that dictate us more than God. We got a lot of friends out here who say, hey, this is the way you should do it, but it's the way of the world. You know what's crazy, man? I have this image in my mind of at the end of days where we're before God and folks, oh man, from the church have been linked with people and people and friends who didn't know God, and they were pulling them to where they were going instead of us going to where we're called to go. How many of us are inviting hell in our lives because of the people that surround us? Find companionship with people who actually love God. Ain't perfect, but love God and who want His will. That's how you break it in your life. How you break lust, all that. When you choose to plant the seeds of His word, you won't get a weed like that. Or when you start to see it, you'll start to cut that sucker out. I just want everybody just to close your eyes real quick. Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now that, man, you are so for us. You're not the God who's waiting for us to get to you. You're the God who went to us. You see us where you're at. You see us what stuff we're in. And I thank you, you're the same God who met me in my mud, who met me in my jail cell, who met me in my bondage. And you said, hey, we can leave anytime. You're the same God whose your kindness leads us to changing the way we think, changing the way we see, changing the way we live. And I thank you right now that lust is not greater than your love. I thank you right now that your love and your word is greater than any type of bondage, any type of way of thinking, any type of, addiction. Your love's greater. And Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you're the God who doesn't leave us where we're at. And I thank you right now that, man, you're showing inside of us, man, things that are not healthy, that aren't from you, that you're like, hey, let's get this out. If you're in this room and you're like, hey, Pastor Sam, I am struggling with lust, struggling with whatever. And you're like, I need help getting out. Ain't no shame with that, because Lord knows that's me. That was me. If you're in this room and you're saying, hey, I need help, I want you to raise your hand. Count of three. One, two, three. You're saying, I need help. No shame. No type of shame. I see your hand. You're saying, I need help getting out. Well, I'm just going to say this. We're a youth ministry here. I see you. We're a youth ministry here who's about walking with you in any circumstance in your life. And that you can trust us as leaders to be there for you. If you raise your hand, I'm going to pray a quick prayer. And then I want you to just come see me afterwards. Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now that you're walking us in this life. That your goodness and kindness doesn't keep us where we're at, but you lead us to yourself. So God, I just thank you right now for all of our students in this room. And I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit won't leave us alone. That you're with us in our rooms, you're with us when no one's looking, you're with us. When we're going to sleep at night, you're with us everywhere. And I just bless every single person in this room, man, that they would respond to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.